Good morning once again. I'm so thankful that we have an opportunity to study and worship together. If you would open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, I want to share with you a couple things as we finish this study of Philippians together. As you're doing that, I want to encourage you, especially those that are online, maybe to join us next Sunday as we have a special opportunity for Mother's Day. We're going to have our worship outside. Again, we did that on Easter Sunday, and we're going to do that again for Mother's Day. This time, we've got two canopies that are going to come out, and so we'll put those along the edges. And we're going to try to save those for those that are older or with small children who just need a little bit more protection from the sun. We will have plenty of seating. Encourage you, if you need to wear a hat, bring some sunscreen to church. It's not usually on our list of things to remind people to do, but please make sure we have preparations. Services will begin at 10:15, as the second service normally does. We will not have a meal afterwards like we did on Easter, thinking that most people will be spending time with their individual families trying to honor their mothers or take care of some other arrangements. So join us for 10:15. Stay for some fellowship. I think it'll be a great time. Second thing I want to share with you is last Sunday, in our second service, we finished up with the video, and we invited our kids in, and when all was said and done, we were pretty much at capacity. And so we're trying to look at ways that we can adjust our numbers. And so I want to ask you if there's some within this crowd that would be willing to start coming at the 9 o'clock service. That would be 9 o'clock service. That would help kind of offset some of our numbers. If you would be interested in that, let me know as we try to adjust. Right now, we're working on kind of testing out an overflow room of kind of a live stream video group experience. So I've got a few people that are taking a look at that to see how we might be able to continue to grow in our attendance, but to continue to provide a safe and healthy environment for us to worship. And of course, we will continue on with our live stream, and we're working to connect with those that are worshiping from home. Last but not least, last week we passed out some information about the rescue mission, and so I'm so thankful in the response. This week our lobby was just filled with clothes and food donations. We've taken that out of the way, so we have plenty of room for us to fellowship this morning. But please look at your bulletin, see the list online. There's some flyers out in the lobby as well if you'd like to participate in that. There is a great number within our community that just need a little bit of help and a blessing in life. This morning on my way to the building, I met an individual who, I don't know what the situation was, but something in his home was not working well, and so he decided it would be better to spend the night outside without any place to go rather than staying in his home. And so we just have a variety of people who are in some pretty tough spots, and the rescue mission is a great place for us to be able to provide some resources and love and help for them. And so if you can provide that, we're going to be trying to raise those supplies for the next couple of weeks. Philippians chapter 4. Look with me real quick at a couple of verses here. We're going to start in verse 4. Paul is going to wrap up this lesson, and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." I want to share with you a couple things to help you to see what this is and to really dive into Philippians 4. Let this be an encouragement as we dive into this whole book, as we really try to put this into practice. I want to share with you a couple things that I think are going to be valuable. Number one, if we are going to be the type of person who is content in every situation, if we are going to be the type of person who is content in every situation, who really has peace in each moment, and who is able to rejoice. I mean, now how many of us would that just describe Monday through Friday, weekends, mornings, and evenings? I mean, we just kind of content in all things, peaceful, And boy, we got something on the tip of our tongue to rejoice about each and every day. Good. This lesson is for you. This is going to help us because in order for us to be that type of person, Paul is going to say there's a couple things you need to do. First thing he's going to say is we must train our minds. We must be purposeful about grabbing hold of our thoughts and our mind, what is going on, where our heart is focused and what we're thinking, so that we will put these things into practice. He's going to give us several godly principles that are valuable for our lives so that we can be, so that we really can be content in each and every circumstance, so that we really can exude peace around those who are in conflict, so that we really do have true things that we can rejoice and proclaim the greatness of God about in our lives. Number one, I want to share with you four things. The first thing is that I want us to be able to clear our minds, to be able to have a space where we really listen to our own thoughts. Clear your mind and give yourself a space so you can hear what's going on in your mind. As this chapter starts off, Paul's talking about two individuals who are at odds with one another. And we don't really know what the situation is, but they are in conflict. And the way he describes it is they once were walking together. They were all co-workers together. And now there is something that is dividing them. And I don't know if you've had this experience or not, but I have many times in my life in which someone will say something. Someone will react. Someone will interact with me. And in which way I feel disconnected. I feel discouraged. I feel frustrated about who they are, and we no longer are walking together, and we sort of start going our own separate ways. Have you ever had those experiences? Paul's saying, I want you to pay attention, individuals, people, listen. There are so many times in our life in which we think we're walking together, but what we are thinking is not so right or noble or praiseworthy. It is our own selfish desire. It is our own ambition that is driving us away from our brothers and sisters. And one of the great things that Paul says here is these individuals, their name is still in the book of life. He's not damning them or condemning them, but he's saying we're no longer really walking together, and it's not exuding, it's not demonstrating the spirit of peace that is so valuable. I love the story of Jeff Allen. He's a Christian comedian. I don't know if you've ever watched any of his stuff, but he's been through a variety of difficult experiences with drugs and alcohol. He's come as close to being divorced as possible. And he tells a story about how he and his wife were near separation. They were living in the home together, but never really speaking to one another. And one day he wakes up and there on the kitchen table is the divorce papers. She never said anything. It just showed up. He almost signed it except for an intervention that happened in his life, and he meets this man who starts to share with him Jesus and God's word. And he says, at that moment, I got the chance to be downwind and smell who I really was. Imagine that thought for just a moment, as we sometimes need a place where we really listen to how self-centered, how selfish our own thoughts are, how negative we really have become, and we understand how far we've gone away from what God has really desired. Our thoughts, they should be great and noble and right, but we need to mull over. We need to stop and think about really what's going on. Paul intervenes in this situation because these two individuals were not living with that practice and with that purpose. Number two, I want us to stop the train of negativity. I want us to grab hold of our thoughts and understand that sometimes we live in a world in which our thoughts, it may be a significant event that happens in your life. It may be something as simple as someone cuts you off in traffic on the way to work, and your thoughts just become negative and toxic, and they continue on. Have you ever had this experience where a big event or a little event, whatever it is, just captivates your mind, and for the rest of the day, maybe even for the rest of the week, you are stuck in this downward spiral? Has that happened? It happens to me, and I find myself holding on to this negativity that grabs my attention. Paul says we're supposed to be able to rejoice. And in those moments, I'd say, what am I supposed to rejoice about? That jerk who was, and I described that situation. What am I supposed to have peace about? Because I need to let them know. And we start to live out our own desires and feelings. And it's not the way that God has desired. So if we can't not rejoice, then we are on that train of negativity. Gentleness. If we can't do that, if we can't be gentle in our words to our spouse or our family or co-workers, if we can't be gentle to those who are seeming to harm us even, then we are on this train of negativity. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. And Paul would remind these individuals that the Lord is near. And so we don't need to be anxious in this life. We don't need to be caught up in our worry and negativity. Have you ever been in those moments in which you're in the kitchen, you know you have some guests and company coming over in about an hour, and you're in the kitchen and there's so much I need to do, I got to get prepared, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, and you find yourself in the living room, and I know they're going to be here in 59 minutes, we got to do so much, we got to get together, I don't know, and you walk into the bedroom and you still have more things that you're supposed to be doing, and you don't do anything as you go from room to room other than spread your anxiety. That anxiety is non-productive. It's not going to be beneficial. We need to come back to some things. And Paul would say we need to spend some time in prayer with a powerful Creator. We need to make a request of God that brings us back in a position of knowing who is in control. And we need to remember to be thankful. Try that next time you find yourself in the downward spiral of life. To grab hold of your mind, to listen to what's going on, and try to find ways to spend time here, to give a request to God and be thankful. I want to share with you three things that I think will help us in this. I'm going to call them traveling through three nations, three different things. I couldn't find a better way to put this together, so bear with me here. This is the nation, or the first one is of inspiration. Okay? The first one is really getting a spark within our lives that's going to grab us and get us up off the couch. How many of us in our dieting or exercise have finally seen a story on TV or in the news or come across our email? Okay, today's the day. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to go walking. I'm going to go jogging. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do something. It is a moment of inspiration. If he can do it, then I can do it. If they can start the diet, then I'm going to start the diet. And then we get going. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, "Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, the fact that I'm in jail, the fact that I'm in difficulty, the fact that I'm learning how to be content in any and every situation with plenty or without, I want you to know that all this has happened and is actually serving to advance the gospel." What a powerful way to remind people to take action, even in the difficult moments. The second is this motivation. Inspiration is going to get us to take that first step. Motivation is actually going to defeat those thoughts within our mind. It's going to get us going above what we want to do, our own selfish desire. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." That's the inspiration. Now here comes the motivation. Here comes the self-awareness. And I'm going to participate in his suffering. I'm going to become like him in his death, Paul would write about. The inspiration is going to be that first step. The motivation is going to be keep going, even when my body says, just sit down and rest. Don't go over to involve yourself in this conflict. Don't be a light into that dark world. That's too dark of a situation. That's not God speaking at all. And the third one is going to be this determination. Inspiration, motivation, determination. This is overcoming the obstacles that are around us. This is looking back and seeing that this pandemic is not going to stop the light of Christ from shining. This is understanding that the economic trials that you might be under are still going to give you an opportunity to provide hospitality and love to those that are around you. This is the determination to overcome the obstacles that are in front of you. And Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 12, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want." And then verse 13, the one that we get out of context so often, Paul says that I can do all these things through him who gives me strength. It's not that I'm going to become a superhero. It's not that I'm going to get all my wishes and wants through Christ. Somehow I'm going to become the CEO, the superstar, the NBA, whatever. It's that I'm going to be able to live in any and every circumstance as I continue to be a light in this dark world. And so there is nothing that's going to separate us. There's nothing that's going to hold us back. There's nothing that's going to prevent us from being this individual. whether it is being falsely arrested, whether it's being falsely accused, whether it is being without the resources or being given way too many resources, whether it is our own illness, whether it is our own strength, none of these things are going to matter as we continue to press on in our own lives. I read recently about a man. His name is Renald III. He was a duke of what is now, we kind of know as Belgium, I guess. He was a 14th century duke then. And his younger brother, Edward and Renald got into some sort of conflict, and Edward didn't like the way that Renald was overseeing the land. So there was this feud and fight, and finally Edward overthrows his brother. But knowing the rules and the situation of life, he was not able to kill his brother, and so he imprisons his brother in a very unique way. His brother indulged and loved to eat, and so Edward builds this prison with just slightly smaller than normal doors. And Renald is trapped in this house with no locks. And every day, Edward would send his brother fine foods, lavish him with large meals, and told him that if he would come out of his prison, he could regain his throne. And for more than 10 years, Renald continues to indulge, so much so that he's no longer able to even leave his bed, let alone try to squeeze through these slightly smaller than normal doors. About 10 years later, Edward is killed in battle, and those that are trying to understand the situation come and free Renald. At that point, his health is so declined that he only lives for less than a year. Duke Edward at the time said, "My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave whenever he wills, but he stayed there of his own selfish desire." And I wonder sometimes if that's not a great example of who we are as we deal with the world, as we somehow come to these moments of flashes of inspiration or motivation, but yet we lack the determination to press on in this race of life, to be a light in our dark world. And so I want to challenge you, as Paul says, that we are going to provide. We are going to bring actions of love to those around us. As he praises this Philippian church for the service of what they are providing, for the ways that they are continuing to bring resources and help and love into his world. Not that they need it. Not that he is in need, because God will provide maybe in other ways, but so that their account will be credited, so that they will get the experience of participating in all of this. And Paul says in verse 9, "Whatever you have seen in me, whatever you have learned and received from me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." And I read over that verse a variety of times. Verse 9 continues to say, "Whatever you've seen in me, whatever you've heard from me, put into practice." Put into practice. Put into practice. And I started to hear another teaching in which Jesus, as he was finishing that Sermon on the Mount, flip over to Matthew chapter 7 with me real quick, and let's look at verses 24 through 27. Jesus, as he's finishing this, he talks about two individuals. He talks about a wise builder and a foolish builder. And he gives these two options for our life. And Paul is going to use those same words. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose up, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rains come down, the streams rise up, and the winds blow against and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Paul encourages us not to just be hearers, but to put these things into practice. And I wonder how many times in our Christian life, in our modern day Christianity, we work on trying to have this intellectual understanding of what Scripture is, that we grab hold of these great concepts or these big words, these Greek and Hebrew words. We're grabbing hold of a history and a context that is foreign to us, but yet our actions never change. And we are to be a light in this dark world. And if our actions continue to represent the rest of the world, how bright is our light? How much are we shining like stars in this dark world? It starts as we grab hold of our thinking. As we take stock of the direction of where we're going, if we really are thinking about those things that are of God, from God, and noble and right and true, or if they are toxic and negative and spiraling in our life. Are we really living a determined life? Or are we haphazard? Do we just go with the flow, the path of least resistance? Are we really taking action to demonstrate love to those that are around? This morning, I pray that Philippians will drive you closer to God. It will connect us closer to one another as we strive to be a light in our community. Our shepherds are here, and they would love to pray and talk with you this morning. Our office is open throughout the week. If there's anything we can do, please call us and come on by. We would love to pray with you and counsel with you and study with you. This morning is an opportunity for us to determine once again to be a light in this dark world. Let's stand together. Let's sing this song as an encouragement to one another.
Lord, take